and start with a question someone asked me. That is, if the greatest mitzvah is Talmud Torah keneged kulam, Talmud Torah shkula keneged kol ha-mitzvot, so why isn't the mitzvah of Talmud Torah mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros? All these important mitzvahs, why not Talmud Torah? Doesn't mention Talmud Torah in the Aseres HaDibros. So, I was thinking of the following. The answer I gave him originally, which we'll see is, I think, MS, even though there's another answer too, I think both of them go together. The answer I told him is the following. The first Dibra, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is the mitzvah of Emunah. The Rambam explains the mitzvah of Emunah to be Leida Shiesha Motzi Rishon. The mitzvah of Emunah is knowing, knowledge, knowing that there's a Rabbana Shalom. In order to know the Rabbana Shalom, you have to know Ratzon Hashem, you have to know Pu'ulos Hashem, you have to get to know HaKadosh Baruch. How do you get to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Yohavtos Hashem Elokecha, how? V'hoyu hadvarim ha'eila, Shanochi Mitzavcha Yom, Alavavecha. So says the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, that the way to get to know the Rabbana Shel Olam, and the Neila, to love him and fear him, is through Talmud Torah, is through Limud HaTorah. So, therefore, what's it called? The mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokech, which means to know God, is in itself the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's what Talmud Torah is all about. Still, doesn't answer the question 100%, because it could have been a little more explicit. But Lamaisa, that is exactly what Anochi Hashem Elokech is. Thinking, though, to answer in a little bit different way, and like we said, we'll see that both are true and both are have their sources in the Aseres HaDibros itself. You have to understand what the specialty of the Aseres HaDibros is. What's so special about the Aseres HaDibros? On the one hand, the Aseres HaDibros are no more Kodesh than the Pasuk Timna Hoysa Pilegesh Lelifas Ben Esau. So says the Rambam. Right, there's no more kedusha in Anochi Hashem Lokecha in Timna Haisa Pilegesh. They all are Dvar Hashem of equal importance and equal kedusha, and that is the reason why we don't include anymore the Aseres HaDibros in Kriyashma every day. Right before the original Christians came on the scene, the Minim. So they would say in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, mainly they would say Kriya Shema and include the Aseres HaDibros. And when the Minim began to say that there's nothing more significant in the Torah than the Aseres HaDibros, that's all that's significant. So in order not to give them credence that every day we say the Aseres HaDibros, it seems to give that special importance, so they cut it out and they asked him from saying it in davening. There's a Rambam, a Tshuva, that says for that reason you're not allowed to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros if you don't stand up for the whole lady. Because it gives the same appearance as if the Aseres HaDibros is more important than the rest of the Torah, and it could lead to the same mistake that the Christians, the early Christians, said that the only significant part of the Torah is the Aseres HaDibros. The Chidah Lemaisa, who did not see this Rambam, didn't see this Tshuva Sarav, he doesn't quote it at all, on his own says that it's okay to stand up, and he brings reasons why this is different than the saying the Aseres HaDibros is part of Kriya Shema. Standing up is okay. Others say it's okay because we're not standing up out of covet for the Aseres HaDibros. We're standing up to reenact and relive the Matan Torah, where they stood up. Kol ha'am, what's it called? Vayishyakshu b'sachti sahar. The Moshe Feinstein also says it's also okay to stand up by us. In order, since there is a Rambam, and there are poskim who say that if the Chidah had seen this Rambam, he wouldn't have said what he said. So what we do is we tell people to stand up from the beginning of the Aliyah, not to stand up dafka at the Aseres HaDibros, and that way you show that you're standing up even for psukim before, so there's no problem, and you're making the minhag of standing for the Aseres HaDibros. But there are many places, I don't know what they do here, but there are many places where they stand dafka for that service on Dibros, and there are many posts who will say that's fine. In any case, hold on. So if that's the case, then there's nothing special about the Aseres HaDibros. On the other hand, they said the Aseres HaDibros as part of Kriyat Shema. Right? They didn't say Timna Haisi Pilegish every day. They said that. The Rebbeinu Shem chose to say on Har Sinai, right, Ponim El Ponim, the Aseres HaDibros, not Timna Haisi Pilegish. So there must be something special about the Aseres HaDibros. So what is it? In order to understand that, you have to first we mock them another question. It says that before the Rabbanu Shlom actually gave the Aseres HaDibros, he said them all b'dibur echad. Vayidaber Elokim es kol hadvorim ho'ela lemor, Rashi says, melameid shenosnam kulam b'dibur echad. Masha'ein ha'peh yochol ledaber ve'ein ha'ozen yochol lishmor. Before the Rabbanu Shlom gave the 10 Dibros separately, he said them all in 1 second, which no human being could ever do, and no ear could hear. Okay. Question is, why did he do that? He could show us he could do it. Hey, I got something to show you. You can't even do this, and you can't even hear it. I'm going to show you I can do all the Aseres HaDibros. The Russian doesn't do Nisim just to show off that he can do things that we can't do, and that we can't hear. So what was the purpose of this nation? We couldn't hear it. So what was the purpose of doing it? The answer is something that we've spoken about here many times before, but I don't remember when, so I'm going to say over it, but b'kitzur. The Navi complains that Klal Yisrael keep the Torah tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav. We just had it in the Haftorah for Shmos. Ze'er Shom, Ze'er Shom, a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there, a line here, a line there. On the surface, doesn't seem to be understandable what the problem is. That's how you keep the Torah. A mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. We don't sit in the sukkah, wave esrog and lulav, blow shofar, eat matzah all at once. Right? We have today one mitzvah, and tomorrow a different mitzvah. And that's how you keep the Torah. Mitzvah, mitzvah. What is the problem? Well, the answer is that if I were to ask you, how many things does God want of us? What does he want us to do? How many things? So you probably say 613. But those are only the main categories. There are branches and sub-branches and sub-branches. The answer probably is a heck of a lot. Right? Every time I turn around, the Rosh wants something else. Say this, don't say that. Think this, don't think that. Do this, don't do that. Wear this, don't wear that. Right? Eat now, don't eat now. Eat this, don't eat that. And so on. The truth is, that's not true. The Rabbanu Shlom does not want a lot of things. The Rabbanu Shlom is one, and his will is one. Hu Ritzono Echad. Rambam says it many times. The Rabbanu Shlom doesn't have many things that he wants. He is the ultimate one, and therefore his will is one. So what is that one will that the Rabbanu Shlom has? That is, the Torah says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Nimach Ki Im LeYiras Hashem Elokecha. He wants us to be Yirei Shemayim. That's it. Chazal say it even more clearly. Hein Yiras Hashem, Hein B'loshin Yevani is Echad. There's only one thing that Rabbanu Shlom wants. He wants you to be a Yirei Shemayim. What is a Yirei Shemayim? Somebody who recognizes every second that he's alive, everything that he speaks, thinks, and does, that he's a Tzelem Elohim, he's created in God's image, and he has to function according to that divine image. That's all the Rabbanu Shlom wants. Everything you think, say and do, every single second of your life, in every aspect of life, should be done with a knowledge that you're a created being, created by a God who expects you to function in a certain way. That's all. That's all you have to do. But that's everything. It's so all-encompassing that it's impossible for us to relate to it. It's too much. It's too big. Too vast. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, by necessity, broke down that one all-encompassing will of his into 613 components. That's what it says, Achaz Diber Elokim, Shnayim Zu Shaman. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam really said one thing. We heard two. Because we have to hear it in its parts and its components. We can't deal with it as that one unified Ratzon Hashem. What I'm telling you now is basically contained in a Maharsha in the end of the Gemara of Makkos. Look up that Maharsha, you want to see it. If you'll hear what I'm going to say, you'll understand the Maharsha a little bit differently than normally would understand it. But in any case, it's not the Chidushim, the Maharsha says it. Says it for the Gabi. Something else right now, it's not the evidence. In any case, so I always like to give the example, the following example. Take a gigantic light bulb, right? A searchlight that is so big and so bright that you can't look at it. It's impossible to look at it. You take that searchlight and you put it into a gigantic globe. And in the globe you cut 613 little windows. Through each little window you can see one small portion of that light bulb, which is seeable. That's only a little portion of the light bulb. There's only one light bulb. How do you know what the light bulb looks like? If you look through all 613 windows, you get a composite picture of the light bulb. That's what mitzvahs are. Mitzvahs are windows to that one all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem. And therefore, by doing a mitzvah, you open that window, and you're able to understand not just what that mitzvah is, but what does that reveal about God's will, about my entire life. My values, my standards, my personality, my character traits, my lifestyle, my goals, all of that. Every mitzvah teaches me a little bit more about that all-encompassing will of God which applies to a person's entire life. And therefore we explain that there's Shmia Likol Hashem, listening to Hashem, that's doing the mitzvah. But once you do the mitzvah, you're supposed to be Shomea Bikol Hashem. Listen into what Hashem said. Look through the window and see, what does this mitzvah teach me about the all-encompassing will of God? An example, Shabbos. Shabbos is a very narrow mitzvah. It applies once a week. You have to keep Shabbos halachically. If you do it, you get schar, fine. But it doesn't end just with that. Shabbos is supposed to teach you things that apply to your whole life, to the rest of the 6 days, to your character, to your values, to your standards, to what the purpose of the world is. And you're supposed to apply that to your entire lifestyle. So listening to God is keeping Shabbos. Listening into what God said is applying what Shabbos is supposed to teach you for the totality of your life. So that is what Torah is. That's what the Navi complains. There are Yidden who keep the Torah tzav l'tzav, a bunch of commands. They don't see that it's supposed to create a lifestyle, a personality, values, standards. It's just things to do. They may have the same values and the same standards and the same lifestyle as the nations of the world, but they keep mitzvahs. Right? Their values and standards of eating are the same as goyim, except they eat kosher. So they're kosher goyim. Right? They're glatt kosher goyim. I remember that people used to ask me in Miami, before Pesach, used to come around Purim time, which was perfect for this, with ads from the Jewish press about cruises to the Bahamas for Pesach. And what? Bahamas, right. They had there, you know, that there's fully glatt kosher and Shabbos and Yontif and the shuffleboard and three and, you know, two Sidorim, no Gebrochts, whatever. And they would ask me, check it out, please, and tell us if it's okay, you know, to go. If it's kosher, if it's yosher, if it's whatever. So, looking through the Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, probably couldn't find anything wrong with it. Right? Shabbos, Yontif, Kashrus, Pesach, perfect. But is that really what the Rabbanu Shel Olam intended by Zman Cheruseinu? That you should be playing shuffleboard on the board of a trip to the Bahamas? And that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. Right? People need a rest, they need fresh air, they need a vacation. Nothing wrong going on a cruise. Nothing wrong. Never went on a cruise in my life, but from my side, I can imagine that there's nothing wrong with it. But these people, right, had more fresh air in their backyards in Miami without getting seasick. What in the world have to be on a boat to the Bahamas for Pesach? Right? What was the purpose? Spend Pesach in Puerto Rico. Now it's already beyond that. That's what's a tachlis? Elamai. People want a lifestyle that's basically not Jewish. Right? That basically has the same standards and values of the nations of the world. And that's a sign that you've made it. Right? It's a status symbol. So their lifestyle and values are goyish. Except they want to make sure they do it glatt kosher. So they end up being glatt kosher goyish. So that's not exactly what the Rabbanu Shel Olam wanted. they're going to get schar for eating kosher and for keeping Pesach and Shabbat. No problem. But it's not the totality. That's what the Navi complains about. Savla Tzav. Just a bunch of things to do. It's not that totality. So in order that people shouldn't make that mistake, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave the Aseres HaDibros first, and then the rest of the Torah. And even the Aseres HaDibros he gave in such a way that it was clear that it wasn't a bunch of different things. That's why the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave, the Rav Sadia Gaon says, that the Aseres HaDibros contain all the Torah in it. All the Torah is contained. All the mitzvahs are hinted to in the Aseres HaDibros. So the Aseres HaDibros, the importance of them is they are a mini Torah. They're a mini version of the Torah. Everything's included in that Aseres HaDibros somehow. In a general way. That's why there's 10. The number 10 represents the unity of many things. You start with one, and then you have many things. What makes those many things one again? 10. Now they unite into 1 10. Up until 10, each of the integers are separate. 10 unites all the integers into one unit. That's a decimal system. It's 1 10 and 0 1s. In Hebrew, the same thing. Once you get to Asara, you create a unit. You don't have a new number after Asara. You have Achadasrei, Shteimesrei. You build on the 10. It becomes a unit. That's why a minion is 10. Because it's the Achdus, it's the unity of many separate things. So the Rabbeinu Shem said, I don't want you to ever think that the Torah is just a bunch of disjointed things. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, and it's a bunch of different things. Because then you're not going to understand the unity of it all. So therefore, I'm going to give you the Torah in a way that you'll understand this unity. So first, the Rabbeinu Shem gave it all the Dibur Echad. It's all one. But Nebuch, you can't hear that. So I'm forced to give it in details. Not in that one unity, because Achaz Dibur Elohim, I can say it, but you can't hear it. Therefore, but in order they should make a mistake, I'm going to give you it in 10. And everything's going to be included in that, so you'll see that Achdus. And then we'll go to the details, each thing separately. So you never think that it's not just separate things. And therefore, if you look at the Aseres HaDibros, they include Taka, all the things that what's it called that are the Yesodos of Kol HaTorah Kula. What's the first Yesod? Emunah. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is Emunah. If you don't believe in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, there's no Torah, right? Even according to Rav Haigon, right? Not Rav Haigon. According to the Bahag, the Baal Halachos Gedolos, the first Dibra is not a mitzvah. No mitzvah to believe in God. It's a foundation. If you don't believe in God, there can't be any mitzvahs. It's the foundation of all mitzvahs. Because if you don't believe in God, there can't be a mitzvah to believe in Him, because who said? You have to start with a mitzvah, with a commander. I believe in a commander, now he commands you to do this. Mekabel, his command. But if you don't believe in a commander, how can you come and say, God said believe in him, I don't believe him to begin with. Who said? So that's a foundation. So emunah is a foundation. Without that, you can't start mitzvahs. So it's the foundation of all the mitzvahs. Then comes Avodah Zarah. Even if you believe in God, and you believe in the Torah, but you also believe in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says, Kol Amodah B'Avodah Zarah K'Kofer B'Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a foundation of Kol HaTorah not to believe in Avodah Zarah. If you believe in Avodah Zarah, it's Kofer B'Kol HaTorah. A Yehudi is a Yehudi because he's Kofer B'Avodah Zarah. Without that, you're not a Yehudi. So Avodah Zarah is also a foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. You can have Emunah, you can have Mitzvahs. You have Avodah Zarah, you don't have any of it. So Anochi and Lo Yielecha are foundations. Then Lo Sisa. You can believe in God, not believe in Avodah Zarah, but if you're not Mechabed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, even B'dibur, then your belief is irrelevant. So Lo Sisa is a foundation of Kavod Hashem, having reverence for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, even in what you speak, to have reverence for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And so Emunah and Avodah Zarah is B'machshava. Now we're going down to Dibur, that you revere the Rabbeinu Shel Olam even in how you speak. You're not Mechal Shem Shamayim, you're Mechadah Shem Shamayim. That's the foundation of all the mitzvahs. I believe, I don't believe in Avodah Zarah, I have respect for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. I want to Mechadah Shemo, Kavod Hashem instead of Chilul Hashem. Now I have to bring it down Lamaisa. Okay, all those beliefs, which are the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula, finds its expression in action in Shabbos. Shabbos is the edus that I believe that the Rabban Shalom created the world, that I believe in the Rabban Shalom. So now you have to bring it down lemaisa. Shabbos is what's it called, and therefore Shmira Shabbos is connected to Kol HaTorah Kula. Person's Machal Shabbos Lahesh is like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Because in action, he denies everything that in thought and in speech he may profess. But he doesn't keep Shabbos, he's denying it in action. And lastly, in order to really be able to serve the Rabban Shalom and recognize him, you need to honor those people who pass on to you the Mesorah. Parents, teachers, Kavod Horim, includes also Morim, includes Kavod Tamid Chachamim, and it also includes the idea of Hakaras HaTov. If you want to really recognize the Rabban Shalom, you have to be Makar Tova. If you're Makar Tova to your parents, you'll be Makar Tova to the Rabban Shalom. If you're not Makar Tova to your parents, you won't appreciate the Rabban Shalom. So the first five Dibros are the foundation of all the mitzvahs, Bein Aron L'Chavero, Bein Aron L'Makom, but specifically through the side of Bein Aron L'Makom, between man and God. Belief in God, not belief in Avodah Zarah, reverence for the God I believe in speech, in action, through Shabbos, and by having reverence for the people that the Rabban Shalom then gave to give me over this Mesorah and to have Hakaras HaTov. That's the first five Dibros. The second five deal as the Yesodos of all the mitzvahs Bein Aron L'Chavero. Lo Sir Tzach includes all the damage you can do to somebody else physically. All the physical mitzvahs Bein Aron L'Chavero are included in Lo Sir Tzach. In Lo Sinach is the interrelationships between people that brings tumah to the world. That's the mixture of spiritual and physical together, using the physical world in a way that can either bring Kedusha, that's Kedushin, or Gili Arayis, Lo Sinach, which brings Tumah. So the second one is all the relationships that people have where you damage not the physical person, but you damage the spiritual aspect of a human being by having the wrong kinds of relationships. And then Lo Signov is all the damage you can do to somebody's money. Stealing represents the damages, all the mitzvahs, Bein Aron L'Chavero, have to do with money. Lo Saneh represents all the damage you can do to somebody else with speech. Lashon Hara, Sheker, all these Averas, Bein Aron L'Chavero, are included in Lo Saneh B'Riacha Eid Shaker. And lastly, thought, Lo Sachmo. Lo Sachmo is to get the right hashkafas in this world so you'll be able to interact with other people. Don't be jealous of other people. If you're jealous and you don't appreciate what you have, then it leads to all the other Averas. So these 10 things are the foundation for Kol HaTorah Kula, both mitzad emunah b'Hashem and mitzad the relationship between people. Now, since this was the mini Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, like Rav Tzadik Gaon says, it includes all the Torah in it, hinted to it, and he shows where each mitzvah is hinted to in the one of the Aseres HaDibros. But more the way we're saying, it's not just that every mitzvah is specifically hinted. It's the concepts of the mitzvah, the foundations of the mitzvah that are given over in the Aseres HaDibros. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this mini Torah, right, the Kolos Ubrocha, that we should know the Torah came from him. We should know that we're getting this Torah from the Rabban Shalom, because it was impossible to give the whole Torah like that. So the Rabban Shalom gave the mini Torah like that. Right? In fact, there's a sheet that holds that when it says that what does it say? Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, that to write a whole Sefer Torah, it didn't mean a whole Sefer, it means Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros is called a mini Sefer Torah. So that is Maimed Har Sinai. That's why the Rabban Shalom gave the Aseres HaDibros and Har Sinai, and not Timna Hoysa Pilegish. They're equally Kodesh. But the Aseres HaDibros are special insofar that they're kolo, Kol HaTorah Kula. They're not more holy than the rest of the Torah. They're holy because they are Kol HaTorah Kula. They're not this and that. It's all included in that. That's the idea. Memela, whatever included is just as holy. Tim Nehoi Sipi Legi is included in the Aseres HaDibros. And the Rabban Shalom wanted us to know that he is the source of this Torah. So he gave it. Pe'al Peh, the Kolo Subrakim, right? And there is, so how, that's very nice. That was a one-time in history thing. What's the hemshich to that? What is the continuation of Maimon Har Sinai? What? How do we feel? How do we continue that on? That what's it called? That which we have, the Torah, is directly from the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and the Torah connects us to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. How do you have the hemshich to that? Where is the hemshich to that? Hemshich to that is from the Torah. That's what learning Torah is all about. I'll bring you a few proofs. The Gemara says that when you learn Torah, right, you have to learn Torah bereses uvaziyah, with trembling, right, with tremendous amount of seriousness, and you have to be tahor. Gemara says mikra din, right, you have to be tahor when you learn Torah. The Takanas Ezra, they learn it from Maimon Har Sinai. Just like when they accepted the Torah, they received the Torah, they had to be tahor, right? They had to go to mikveh before, or whatever. They had to be free from certain tumas. And it was given, bereses uvaziyah, with trembling, kolos uvrakim. That's how you have to learn Torah. The Torah, what's the connection? This is matan Torah. This is kabbalah satorah. This is just stop learning Torah. Elamai, they're the same thing. When a person learns Torah, especially a father teaches his son, a Rebbe teaches his Talmud, he is the conduit, he's the connection, the continuation of Maimon Har Sinai. He's connecting that child, that student, to Maimon Har Sinai. And he's giving over B'Shem Hashem, what the Rabbanu Shalom gave. That's why he says by Matan Torah, Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. The Rabbanu Shalom gave the Aseres HaDibros a tremendous call and didn't stop. According to one pshat, Lo Yosef means didn't end. Where does it continue? Every time you'll sit and learn Torah, you are continuing Maimon Har Sinai. Another proof that this is the case from a Ramban. The Ramban says that there is a mitzvah to remember Maimon Har Sinai. Right? It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs, Zechiras Maimon Har Sinai. Okay? And not only that, but where do we know that it's also, you're over a lav if you forget Maimon Har Sinai? Because it says, Yishomer lecha pen tishkach hasadvorim asher ro einecha fen yosuru milvavcha kol yimei chayecha vahodatem levanecha v'levanecha yom asher amant ufni Hashem lecha b'chorei. There's a mitzvah to remember Maimon Har Sinai, and if you forget it, you're over a lav. You have to remember Maimon Har Sinai. They ask on this Ramban a very simple question. The Mishnah says not like that. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Kol HaShocheach Dover Echad Mitalmudo Over Belav. Shneemar, Yishomer Lecha, Pentishka Chesadvor, Mashorinech. It's not going on Maimon Har Sinai. It's going on Talmud Torah. So, if a person forgets something from his learning, he's over this Lav. But the Ramban says it's going on Maimon Har Sinai. The answer is the same thing. Remembering, forgetting Talmud Torah is forgetting Maimon Har Sinai. Because Talmud Torah is the Hemshech of Maimon Har Sinai. That is what's mamshich the Maimon Har Sinai. The Rabbanu Shem gave that mini Torah. Every time you learn something in Torah, you're megala another bit of that Maimon Har Sinai. So forgetting a part of your Torah is forgetting Maimon Har Sinai. It's the same issue. They're not two separate things. Talmud Torah and Maimon Har Sinai are not two separate things. Another, there's Yerushalmi also that says that by the bris of Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. So the Chachomim were learning Torah. Mahayu advarim smeichim kinisinosim misinai. And a fire came down and surrounded them. And they said, this is the fire of Matan Torah. What's they were just learning. What's the fire of Matan Torah have to do with it? And the answer is, if you learn the way you're supposed to learn, you reenact Maimon Har Sinai. Another proof I'll give you. We lane the Torah three times a week. Why? That we shouldn't go 3 days without Torah. Like it says, "Vayelchu shloshes yomim v'lomotzu mayim, made mayim ala Torah." It's a hint that you shouldn't go 3 days without Torah, without learning Torah. So Kriyas HaTorah is a din in learning Torah. Okay. Yet why do we do it by a bima? So the Sfarim say, because the bima represents Har Sinai, and you need somebody to stand on the side. He represents Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sirsur. Right? So the whole Kriyas HaTorah is a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. Yet the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is Talmud Torah. It's Limud HaTorah. Vaishnavi said Limud HaTorah and Maimon Har Sinai and Mamish, the same thing. Every time you learn Torah, you are being Mamshich Maimon Har Sinai. So what was the question that we asked? The question we asked was, why isn't Mitzvah Talmud Torah mentioned specifically in the Aseres HaDibros? Because It's not the Aseres HaDibros. It is the Maimon Har Sinai itself. Limud HaTorah is the Hemshech of the whole Maimon Har Sinai. So it doesn't have to be mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros. It is the vehicle to continue the Aseres HaDibros, all of them. That's Talmud Torah. And therefore, Talmud Torah really has two mitzvahs to it. The Or Yisrael says that there's two mitzvahs in Talmud Torah. One, the Hagisa Bo Yom V'Laila, to learn Torah. You don't have to know anything, just learn it. Right? You can learn the same pasuk your whole life, and you're mekayim the mitzvah of Hagisa Yom V'Laila. There's a separate mitzvah, Vishinantam Levanecha, to learn Torah and know it, to know the Torah. There's a mitzvah of knowing Torah, and there's a mitzvah of learning Torah. The mitzvah of learning Torah, even if you don't know it, or you don't know anything new, is to connect yourself to the Rebbe Mishalom. Right? The Torah is Torah Hashem. Torah is a means of Dveikus Hashem, of connecting yourself into the Rebbe Mishalom. So, Torah has these both of these aspects. In that respect, Torah, when it comes to Vishinantam Levanecha, the knowledge of Torah is like we said in the beginning. That is the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to know the Rebbe Mishalom, that's the mitzvah of Emunah. In order to have Emunah, you have to know God. In order to know God, you have to learn Torah. And that's why the Vishinantam Levanecha is in the first parsha of Kriya Shema. That's speaking about Emunah, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the Yohavtes Hashem. How is the way to come to Emunah? The Hayu Advarim Ha'ilah, Shonach Mitzav Ha'yom HaLevanecha, Vishinantam Levanecha. That is the part of Limud HaTorah, which is the mitzvah of Emunah, knowing Hashem. So that's why it's not mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros, because it is one of the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi. That is the mitzvah, Talmud Torah. How do you know the Rebbe Mishalom? Learn Torah. The other mitzvah is the Limaditem Osamas Beneichem. That's in the second parish of Kriya Shema. That's after you're going to go into Golus, and you're going to be separated from the Rebbe Mishalom, and you're going to break the bris with him. And you want to now renew that bris. The Samtem is the Vorayela Lavavi al Nafshechem. The Limaditem Osamas Beneichem. Now there's an Indian of Limud. Limud, not Shinud, not the knowledge of Torah, but just connecting into the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, renewing that bris, coming back to Maimon Har Sinai, and realizing the Torah comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's the Limaditem Osamas Beneichem. That's the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, not Shinud HaTorah. And that is the hemshech of Maimon Har Sinai itself. So you have both aspects. You have one aspect of Talmud Torah, which is Yediyas Hashem, which is the mitzvah of Emunah, right, which is the foundation of everything. And then you have another aspect of Talmud Torah that connects you into the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and is megala all the things that were included in Maimon Har Sinai and continue on Maimon Har Sinai. That's the second aspect. So Torah does not be mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros. It is either the continuation of all the Aseres HaDibros, or it's the foundation of all of them, which is Emunah. So that's Talmud Torah. So it is mentioned in the Aseres HaDibros as part of Emunah, and it is the Hemshech of all the Aseres HaDibros. Can't be mentioned in them because it's the Hemshech of all of them. That's the idea. Okay. Let's get something a little more down to earth. Something for next week's Sedra. An interesting thing. It says, "Ve'ela hamishpatim asher tasim lefneihem." So these are mishpatei Hashem. Mishpatim are usually considered mitzvahs that have a rational reason to them. Those are mishpatim, and therefore most of the mitzvahs beinon lechadero have to do with din. Have a rational idea. It's a rational idea of society, and even goyim have mishpatim. Yet the pasuk says, "Lo asa chen lechol goy umishpatim bal yidaum haleluka." The Rebbeinu Shel Olam did not make known his mishpatim to the nations of the world. Now the chorah does make sense. You tell me the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't make known his chukim to the nations of the world. We have mitzvahs that are beyond rationale, paraduma, right? Other chukim. Shatnes. So that the nations of the world have no asaga, just the opposite. The nations of the world question it, and the Satan questions it. But mishpatim, every nation has mishpatim, very similar to our mishpatim. So what does it mean? Mishpatim bal yidom, chukim lo yidom, mishpatim bal yidom. The answer is that our mishpatim are not rational. They're super rational. Even though there is a rationale, a mishpat is a mitzvah. The rationale is apparent, but the reason we keep that mitzvah is not because of the rationale. There are reasons for the mitzvah that are beyond our rationale, even in the mishpatim. Right? For instance, the gray areas, the black and white areas of mishpatim are rational. Murder. It's a rational thing. Every nation, basically, right, except maybe the Palestinians, but most nations have, you know, rules against murder. Right? It's not nice to kill other people, and it doesn't provide for a functioning society. So murder is something that is awesome. But that's only the black and white areas. Going and shooting somebody in the brains in the middle of the street is not mikubal in most places. Okay? It's rational. But how about the gray areas of murder? For instance, euthanasia. That's not young people in Asia. That's killing old people. Right? Euthanasia, right, is something that rationally, I don't know if I could defend it 100%, not, right? Yeah, people who are in pain and they want to die and they ask you to help them commit suicide, right? These doctors that are famous for aiding people in dying. People want to die. Is it rational that you should deprive them of their wish, their body, whatever? Rationally, you can make a nice case for mercy killing. But it's a hoax. The Rebbe Mishlam said, that's most tzitzah. You're not allowed to murder people. And that's murder. Is it rational? No. Abortion. And I would never want to debate an abortionist, right, from a rational standpoint. Torah said it's awesome. But rationally, right, oh, it's a woman's body, it's her choice, or whatever, and not really a viable life yet. So rationally, there are rational arguments for abortion. Right? The Elamite, Torah said it's awesome. It's awesome. For whatever reason, it's awesome. It's awesome. So under, certainly not Catholics either, there are times when abortion is mutter. But it's awesome, it's awesome. Is it rational? Not dafka. It's a chok. So even the things that appear to be rational only in their black and white areas, in the gray areas, they're a chok. And even chukim, it's only in the majority they're a chok. Paraduma, there's plenty of reasons. There's a lot of Torah written on the reasons, the ideas behind paraduma. There's plenty of ideas. So, but the basic premise is beyond our understanding. There is understanding, but the basic premise is not. So every chok is also a mishpat, and every mishpat is also a chok. There's no line of demarcation between mitzvahs that are rational, social mitzvahs, and mitzvahs that are spiritual. We don't have such a separation. All mitzvahs are religion. And there's no such thing as religion. It's all Dvar Hashem. That's what mitzvahs are. I'll give you an example. Therefore, mishpatim b'yidom, our concept of mishpatim, the nations of the world don't know. They only know rational, social laws. They don't have a hasag of what our laws are about. I'll give an example. Torah says, if you steal something, so if you steal it outright, you go in, a purse snatcher, middle of the day, you go and grab somebody's purse. So if they catch you, what do you have to do? Pay back what you stole. That's all. You sneak into somebody's house at night and steal their purse. If you're caught, you have to pay double. Well, you have to pay double for it. So one of the reasons is because if you do it in public, in broad daylight, means you don't have the capacity to be afraid. You're not afraid of anybody. You're not afraid of people. You're not afraid of God. But if you do it at night, sneaking into somebody's house, that means you do have the capacity to be afraid. You're afraid of people. Right? You won't do it in broad daylight. Right? You're a coward. You have to sneak into their house and steal their pocketbook. So you're afraid of people, but you're not afraid of God. That's much worse. So you have to pay double. That's not a rational, right, social thing. The same pocketbook. So you're not compensating the person for something more. But what you're compensating for is your lack of Yirat Shamayim. That's something that's a mixture totally of something that seems to be between man and man, at the same time between man and God. On the other hand, it says if you steal an animal and you shecht it, kosher animal, and you shecht it or you sell it, you have to pay back four times if it's a sheep and five times if it's an ox. Why? So one rational reason is that the ox, you stop from working, so you have to compensate the person more times. But the Gemara says another reason. The Gemara says that why do you really should pay five for the sheep also? They should. Why do you pay four for the sheep? Because a sheep you carry. So the guy really was embarrassed by carrying. Well, he was embarrassed. He wanted to steal this thing. He brought the embarrassment on himself. But the Rebbe Shem said, okay, he already paid back one for the embarrassment of carrying the sheep in through the streets. That doesn't make sense rationally, right? And if that's the case, why did you pay back the other guy four times? What does he have to do with the fact that he loses one time because this guy was embarrassed? So you see that there's a total integration between what seems to be rational social mitzvahs and esoteric spiritual mitzvahs. Another place we see this is the opposite case. Says that you shouldn't eat treif meat. Now treif is, we use it to mean anything that's not kosher. That's treif, right? Just like glatt kosher, right? You could have glatt kosher meat, milk also, and glatt kosher candy or whatever, which is ridiculous because there's no such thing. But we use it as a euphemism, right? Treif means anything that's not kosher. But really, treifa is a specific kind of animal that's not kosher. What happened? The animal, the classic case where the Torah gives is, an animal was mauled by a wild animal, a lion, a wolf, came and mauled the animal. And put a hole in its brain, a hole in its lung. The animal's alive. But the fact that it has a hole in the lung or a hole in the brain means it's not going to live more than 12 months. Right? It's an animal that is that's sick, and therefore, even if you shecht it, it's treif. That's called a treif. That's a treif. And that's why, if we have animals, after they were mauled, they have a hole in the lung, they have a hole in the brain, or whatever. Lungs we check, because that's a common thing. If you find a hole in the lung, then the animal's not kosher. Not just the lungs aren't kosher, the whole animal's not kosher. Glatt kosher means that the lungs sometimes can have adhesions or lesions on them. And then it's a shaila whether they're covering over a hole. Maybe there was a hole there and this thing covered it over. It's like a scab. Right? Or maybe not. Maybe it's just an adhesion on it. There was never a hole there. So there's two different opinions. One opinion is wherever you find certain kinds of lesions or adhesions, it for sure was a hole that this is covering and it's straight. The other opinion is no. Sometimes it's a hole, sometimes not. You can test it. What do? You take off that adhesion and you blow up the lung like a balloon. And you put it in water and you see if it bubbles. Right? Like you do like a spare tire or whatever to see if there's a hole in the lung. If you check it, there's an adhesion. Take it off, you check it, and there's no bubbles. So it's kosher. It's not glatt kosher. Glatt kosher means that the lungs were smooth. You never had a shite. Right? Svarim taka hold that, like the sheetah that holds, that if there's any lesion or adhesion, or not any, but certain kinds, it's for sure no good. Can't eat it. Has to be glatt. Ashkenazim, right, hold that you could check it. But since the checking involves a lot of expertise, and it's time consuming, and shochtim are usually rushed, so it became the minhag that even Ashkenazim are makbid on glatt. Right? It doesn't mean because it's glatt that it's kosher. It could be that what's it called that they say it's glatt, that it's not even glatt. It's not even kosher. Right? So just the fact that somebody says it's glatt doesn't mean it's any more kosher than the other one. It just means that if it's true, you have less of a problem, right? Because you need less to depend on the shulchan a lot less. In any case, that's not the purpose over here. But that's what a treifa is. A treifa is an animal that has one of 18 different kinds of maladies, not diseases, because a hole in the lung is not a disease, it's a malady. And that deems it a treifa, and then even if you shecht it, it's alive. You shecht it, it's what's it called, you don't, not allowed to eat the meat. So Torah says, what do you do with the meat? Lakelev tashlichudosa. Give it to the dog. So we all know the Medrash. Why do you give it to the dogs? Because the dogs kept their mouths shut by Yitzias Mitzrayim. They didn't bark, right? Well, Yechretz Kelev Rishono. They didn't make noise when we left Mitzrayim. And they got their reward. They get all the treifas. That's a Medrash. The Das Gein Mibalei Atosa says, what's the simple meaning? Why do you give it to the dog? Says the Das Gein in the following. Herds of sheep usually have a sheepdog to protect them. So this dog has been doing a job protecting these sheep. Now you have one of the sheep that you can't eat. So Avzakaras HaTov to the dog, give him the thing you can't eat. He's guarded these sheep, give him the sheep that you can't eat. There's only one problem. You know why you can't eat that sheep? Because the dog was not good at his job. Because if the dog had done his job properly, that animal would not have been mauled by that fox. He would have chased the fox away. So you're giving the dog Hakaras HaTov for not doing a good job. He says, if that's okay, then yeah, fine. This time he didn't do a good job. But all the other times he did a good job. Right? So don't let this one time that he wasn't successful erase all the other times that he did guard the sheep and show him a little gratitude. That's the Das Kedem of the Atos. Okay? We're talking about a kashrus law. Religious, spiritual, esoteric law. What can you learn from this? That you don't treat a dog that if he did you favors and then one time he did something bad, that you let that one bad thing erase everything and write him off. Right? How do we treat people? That's how you're supposed to treat a dog. How many people do we have that have done us tremendous favors or been very nice to us for years? And then one thing they did that we didn't like. And what do? Usually write them off. Right? Don't speak to them, don't do it to them. Forget years of friendship, and they're already not worth anything because one time. The Torah says you're not supposed to treat a dog like that. Calls getting a human being. So here is a lesson in rational, social relationships that we learn from a halakha that is totally religious, spiritual, nothing to do with rationale. So therefore, there's no line of demarcation. All the spiritual laws are also rational social laws. And all the rational social laws are also deep spiritual laws that go beyond rationale. So even mishpatim b'yado, even what we think are mishpatim, that's not what the nations of the world know. Their mishpatim is mishpatei b'nei adam, totally built on rationale, on the need for a social order, finished. But Jewish law, even where it mimics what the goyim have, is completely comes from a different source. And that's why it's usher to go to a non-Jewish court. Not only non-Jews, not only Avod Zara, even to an Israeli court. Right? Because it's not based on Torah law. Because the law you're going to get there is pure social ethics, pure, what's it called, rationale. Right? Or purely the opposite. Most of the time. But at least supposedly that. Even if it will be exactly what the Torah says, still awesome. Because not the same thing. This is a law that contains Kedusha and Ruchnius, even in the Mishpatim, and this is a law that the Mishpatim are totally bereft of that. So that's the idea of Mishpatim Bagdol.